Relationships can become more of a burden than a blessing if they get out of balance. And so I have six things I want to tell you about relationships that I've learned in the last 36 years. Number one, and we're going to read here, I'm going to give you some scriptures. Can't read them all, it's too many about Jesus. I learned these in experience and by reading the Gospels of Jesus Christ. Luke 4:16, the Bible says this, and he came to Nazareth, his hometown where he was born and raised for 30 years, where he had been brought up, and as a custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And he read Isaiah 61, which talks about, I've been anointed, called of God to preach the gospel. And so his audience made them mad, and they wanted to throw him out and kill him and all kind of stuff. And so, so let me say this to you. Number one, if you're able to communicate what you believe very clearly, not stumbling around, you're going to be a very controversial person. You will either be loved or hated. Because some people can't really get it out. Follow what I'm saying? Jesus could really get it out, all right? And so they were astonished at his doctrine. It's all in this chapter. You can read it. They didn't like what he said. And so, they didn't like what he said. And he, drop down to verse 28, if you would, please. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. And they rose up, verse 29, and thrust him out of the city. We're talking about Jesus, the Son of God. They physically thrust him out of the city. Is that not what it says in verse 29? And they rose up, thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of a hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. Okay, he preached his message. He was able to communicate it very clearly. He read Isaiah the prophet 61, so he had a Bible basis for his message. They did not like his message, although it was truth. And so they throwed him out of church, throwed him out of town, and were going to throw him off a cliff and kill him. But verse 30 says, but he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. Now, he was able to do that because he was God. Some of our martyrs were not able to do that, and they gave their life for Jesus Christ. So, if you're able, number one, in relationship, if you can communicate clearly and the other person stumbles around, can't remember what they're going to say and all that, their response will be anger, all right? And then they'll think of what they want to say 3 days later. You understand what I'm saying? Y'all with me? You got that? And then they'll be mad because, God, I wanted to say this, but I couldn't get it together. Yep. Y'all with me? All right? So, number two, if you answer questions, and Jesus was a master at it, if you answer questions with questions, you ain't been in trouble yet, okay? But now if someone will listen to you, it will help them. I have a guy that I'm ministering to via messenger on whatever that is. I don't know. Anyway, it's a way to communicate privately. And he told me, he said, I was told now, to be very leery of people that say that God talks to them. And Miss Leanne, in his very next sentence, he said, I'm praying for answers from God, but I'm just not sure how I'm going to, he's just not answering. I said, well, if God can't, let me ask you a question. I said, if God cannot talk to you, like you said the old man told you, then how will you know when he answers your prayers? Amen. He said, well, I hadn't thought about that. I said, well, that's what I'm for. And I gave him a scripture. And now life is not better yet because he's really messed it up pretty bad. But now he knows God can talk to him, Jessica, so we can go somewhere now. You follow what I'm saying? So God has to communicate with you. Fear, doubt, all that talks to you. So why come we can't let God talk to us? He talks to me. He's been talking to me 36 years. I don't even try to explain it to people no more. So anyway, it is what it is. Now, that was number two. Number three, if you're constantly trying to appease someone so they will be happy, stop it now. Okay, some of y'all didn't get that. If you're constantly trying to appease, the quicker you get it, the quicker we get to go home, all right? If you're constantly trying to appease someone so they will be happy, stop it now, because you're unhappy. You may not want to admit how unhappy you are, but you're unhappy. If you're constantly trying to appease, they will never be happy or satisfied with anything you do for them. It's not enough, and it doesn't work. I've tried it. Trust me. I knew exactly what I was doing. Thought it might help, but it didn't help, and it doesn't work. To be honest, I know enough of the Bible, I'm talking about myself, to know it wouldn't work, but unfortunately, I tried it anyway. God forgive me and have mercy upon me, all right? Now, if you want to read about that, in Matthew 15:12, the disciples came and said unto him, 15:12, knowest thou, now his disciples came, the 12, Scott, the 12, his homeboy, you feel me? They came and they said, do you not know, what does it say, that the Pharisees are offended after they heard this saying? He said, you don't know that? You've hurt their feelings, teensy-weensies, all right? And so, all right, but Jesus answered and said, let's offend them some more, all right? Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Send them a Facebook message on that, all right? Let's just, since we done got them mad, let's cause them to have an epileptic fit. You understand what I'm saying? Are y'all, is that not in the Bible? Let's go see what verse 14 said. It gets better, all right? He said, just leave him alone. They're blind, leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, they're both going to fall in the ditch. And the good thing is, if they get out of the ditch, they'll be out of the road, and I can go on. I know a preacher friend of mine in 1984, February, Dallas, Texas. He preached a message on, would you please get out of my way and let me serve God? All right. So he offended them, and then he offended them some more. All right. And didn't have anything else good to say about them. All right. So, all right, verse 4. Not verse 4, but point number 4 about relationships. When people walk away, let them go. When they disconnect, disengage, let them go. Because they need you way more than they realize you don't really need them. Can I get an amen? Are you with me? I know there's exceptions to all this stuff, but let's just go to 10:14 Matthew. I'm going to give you scriptures. You know that I'm going to do that. Matthew 10:14. And whosoever shall not receive you, hear your words, they won't talk to you, they do all the talking, you have to say nothing, you don't even get to say anything. When you depart out of their house, out of their city, he said, just shake the dust off of your feet and just leave them their dust. This isn't, am I reading this in the Bible? Am I off track here? Okay, all right. Some people, if Jesus can't make them happy, trust me, you're not going to make them happy. Amen. They can't be happy. Amen. They will never be happy. They will enjoy dying unhappy. I'd suggest you go with happy and leave unhappy over here. On unhappy street, happy street. Unhappy, you feel me? Okay? Unhappy down here, happy up here. Y'all mighty quiet today. All right? Y'all thinking about all them messed up relationships y'all got with these wonderful, brilliant souls. All right? And I'm being nice. All right, let's go to Matthew 10:34 and read a couple of verses. I had a phone call on this one the other day. A person been in church all life discovered this verse and says, "Am I okay, Brother Scotty? Is that really the Jesus?" See, we got this little image of this picture on the wall of Jesus sitting around with his very long, straight hair, which no Jew has, by the way. I'm just saying. I mean, I like hippies, okay? I was raised in the hippie generation. Got that. But no Jew has long, straight hair. If you don't believe me, catch an airplane, fly over there and see some of them, all right? Anyway, Jesus said this, think not that I'm come to send peace. Get that out of your head. Get that out of your head. One day he's going to set up a 1,000-year millennial reign, and he's going to rule with a rod of iron. There will be peace then whether they like it or not. You feel me? All right. The most controversial being that ever graced this planet that came from a woman's womb, his name was Jesus Christ. Wars. Why do you think the devil's trying? I mean, there's like 100,000 to 200,000 people martyred every year for the cause of Christ. Why do you think it is? Jesus Christ, the controversy. Think not that I'm come to send peace. I came not to send peace, but I brought a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, his daughter against mother, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. That's Matthew 10, 34, 35, and 36. Are y'all still with me? Talking about relationships. If they want to go, let them go. Dust them off before they leave, all right? They may not like that part, okay? All right, so just say it. Matthew 19:20. Rich young ruler, got plenty of money. He's a ruler, so he's in charge of stuff. He's the boss man. He's got this boss man complex. Jonathan, he can just do what he wants to do, and you're going to do what I say. He hadn't met Jesus yet. That don't work like that with Jesus. Jesus, he came to Jesus, told Jesus, said, "Now I've done all the commandments." He told him, Miss Judy said, "I've done them all, thou shalt not commit adultery." He listed all the commandments, Allison. He said, "I done all then. So I want to join up with you." Just like I said, he hadn't met Jesus yet. He said, "Well, since you're wealthy, how about this? You go sell everything you got. Your horses, your donkeys, your barn, your boat, your truck, your house, sell all of it. And then come back and see me." He said, "Oh, I can't do that." He said, "Well, you can't follow me then." He wasn't really, didn't see that coming. Can I get an amen? Amen. So he went away very sorrowful. You see, when you follow Jesus as a true disciple, he'll bless you with houses, cars, donkeys, whatever. He'll do that. But first, you have to get one thing straight. Mr. Tate, you have to get straight that he is the Lord and Savior, and you submit yourself to him. This is spiritual protocol, and then he will start blessing you as you mature. But when you walk up to him and tell him how spiritual you are, okay? See, I used to be the most spiritual person I knew. In the 80s, Jesus was a little more spiritual than me, but other than that, I was right there with you, baby. I mean, I was the most spiritual person that I knew. The older I get, the more unspiritual I get, all right? Amen? Because I'm learning more and realizing that this flesh has to be nailed to a cross every day. The Bible does not teach you to negotiate with your flesh. It does not teach you to justify your flesh. It teaches, matter of fact, to kill it every day. Because if you don't kill it every day, it'll get you in more mess than you can get out of. Can I get an amen? Amen. So, rich young ruler should have went and sold all his stuff. Because what he didn't realize was God would give him 50 times more than what he had. Matter of fact, Moses said in Deuteronomy 1, he'll give you 1,000 times more. Your little old junk don't, he paves roads with gold up in heaven. Your little old junk, your pretty car don't mean nothing to him. And it shouldn't mean that much to you. If you're blessed, you're blessed. Praise God. Enjoy it and use it for the glory of God. Number 5, relationships. When you do all the giving in a relationship, you're not in a relationship, you're in an out-of-balance servitude roommate kind of thing, all right? Where you're making up all the beds, you're doing all the sweeping, you're washing all the dishes. Not only that, but you're buying the dishwashing detergent, you're paying the water bill, the light bill, okay? When your roommate just sits over and watches crazy stuff on TV because they're crazy, all right? Do y'all know any of these people? I'm trying to help y'all. I'm not trying to be mean or make fun of people, but we got stuff to do on this planet. Like my friend preached that message, "Would you please get out of my way while I serve God?" All right, we don't need these supersonic spiritual folks hindering. We got a purpose on God. We ain't even got started yet on what all we're going to do for God and his kingdom on this earth. Can I get an amen? Amen? All right. When you do all the giving in a relationship, you are not in a relationship. Trust me, you're in one, but it's messed up. You are in an out-of-balance servitude. You're a roommate that keeps the apartment clean, the clothes washed, etc. And if they never bring anything to the table, it's not a relationship. If you're in a relationship, you got to bring something to the table. You have something that God's given you that you can bring to the table. Even if it's just a conversation. If you're disabled, whatever, you can't do anything but comb your hair, you can at least have a nice conversation with the person that's been out here fighting hell sideways all day to give you the chair that you sat in. You understand what I'm saying? Do y'all feel me? All right. If they never bring anything to the table, you're not in a relationship. You're in a messed up. Well, let's just go to 2 Thessalonians 3:10. Let me show you what Paul said about it. For even when we were with you, they commanded you that if any would not work, neither should he eat.
Amen.
That's in the Bible. Paul was not into the whole entitlement plan.
Amen.
Do I need to read that verse again? Okay. For even when we were with you, I done told you this one time, but apparently you didn't get it, so I'm going to put it in writing this time. I won't go into all the details, but we were eating together one day, me and my brother and his family and me and Carrie. My two sons were not there. So anyway, he told us his will. You know my brother Chris, Mickey, you know him. And none of us really agreed with that whole will thing. You know what I'm saying? And you know, especially me and Jake. I mean, we wasn't really in on that planning. And I said, well, he was going to give my two sons something. I said, have you talked to them about it? He said, no, it don't matter. He said, I done got it wrote out. I said, I may not want that. He said, don't make no difference. I got it wrote down. Amen. Jake, can I get an amen? Because Jake said, well, what if I want that? Don't make no difference. You ain't get it. I got it wrote down. Is that not J.C. Breedlove over? I said, well, I won't tell you all the details, but I will talk about mine. I said, well, brother, since you've automatically self-appointed yourself to take care of all of us, what do I get? He said, them two rotten campers that Daddy's got, those are yours. I said, I'm glad you thought of me first. I feel better now, all right? I'll have something else to throw away. All right, so anyway. Paul said, if you don't work, we ain't feeding you. I don't care if you sit on the front row. Amen. If you're able to work. He wasn't talking disabled people. Yeah, but I'll tell you what he was talking. He went there, Bill, and preached on the second coming of Christ. And so some of them said, well, hey, if Jesus is coming tomorrow, I'm quitting my job. They went and quit their job, and they got hungry about Wednesday. That's what really happened. I'm telling you the truth. Verse 11. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. You quit your job so you can gossip all week. We're not on the gossip plan.
Amen.
Okay? Because you'll get weak after a couple of weeks of not eating, and you won't be able to gossip. So I'd suggest you get you a job. Because we're not feeding you. We got stuff to do. All right, verse 12 is in my notes too. Let's see what it says. I think it just gets worse further we go. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work. In other words, get you a job and shut up. Don't even talk. Because obviously, if you don't have no better sense than that, you don't need to talk. Nobody needs to hear what you got to say. And buy you some. If you want some bread, go buy your own bread. These were not disabled people. They were lazy. Okay? They were some people that we have on our planet today just kind of born 2,000 years ago. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
No participation trophies from the Apostle Paul. All right? No entitlement mentalities from him. I'm right there. I'm voting with Paul. Anybody voting with Paul? I'm feeding enough folks. Bless God. I told some very powerful people in America, after a 5-hour phone call, 5 hours, I can't feed all these people myself. Somebody, you're going to get some taxes from somebody else. I mean, I didn't vote for you. I didn't vote for your president. I didn't vote for nobody up there right now. And I can't feed all of them by myself. I mean, it is what it is. You're going to get some taxes from somebody else. And so I can't go down that road right now. I've got a weak situation here. Number six. In the context which I have just described, let's just say you're the milk truck or the milk cow that's bringing the milk to the table for people that never bring anything to the table. It will get to the point, listen real carefully, this is my last one, it will get to the point that they are so blind and so selfish that they will sit at the table and start complaining if you're late bringing them their milk. Maybe I need to say it again. All right. It will get to the point that these people are so blind and so selfish, and if you're 5 seconds late bringing them their milk and cereal, they'll whine about that. They didn't buy the table they're sitting at. They didn't buy the chair they're sitting in. They're not paying the rent or the house payment they're in. Okay? They didn't buy the car out front. You did all that. And they're mad at you because my milk getting warm. You need to hurry up a little bit.
You're right.
Come on, talk to me a little bit today. We keep God's doing some things, all right? What we got to do is we got to shed ourselves with all this baggage that's weighting us down so we can go do what God wants us to do. They can catch up later. We're not throwing them off totally off the train. Well, maybe we are, but anyway, they can catch another train and catch up later if they want to join the club that's blessed, and we're the blessed club. Can I get give Jesus a hand clap? Amen. Give him a hand clap. We actually had a person, I'm not going to call his name, that had hard times. And it's something I rarely do. But we took up an offering here at this church 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, I remember. A fairly sizable offering. Paid house payment, lights, a whole bunch of stuff. Let me try to say this nicely. And then he called me some name, what, prosperity preacher? I just preached for money. I said, well, since you don't like money, mail us that money back, $2,500, what it was, mail it back. We can use it over here if you don't need it. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You know the funny thing, Miss, you didn't hear none of this out of it. I said, since you don't like money, just mail us that $2,500 back. That was the end, Paul, end of conversation. He liked it that day because he went and paid his house payment because he's going to lose his house. Let me tell you something. I'm very serious about serving God. I've had a little setback this week, but be advised. It won't set me back long.
Amen.
There's people going to hell, and it's real. There are people that are hungry, and it's real. There are people that are cold, and it's real. Matt Robinson, it's real. And it's our job as the church of the living God to take care of them people. And we ain't taking care of no bunch of lazy bums that whine and complain about everything.
Amen.
Just not going to do it. So you shouldn't say stuff like that. Well, I'm reading it out of the Bible. I mean, Jesus. I mean, Paul said, if you don't work, you don't eat. I mean, they're selfish complainers. They're probably somewhere complaining right now because I'm preaching too long. And, well, Brother Scotty's going to have to shut up and they're going to have to come home and cook me something to eat. Jody, they just sit there hungry as far as I'm concerned. Probably need to lose some weight anyway. Anybody don't ever move, don't ever exercise. Cholesterol is probably too high and fat. They need to lose some weight anyway. Everybody say this right now. We love you, Brother Scotty. Yeah, I got to have some friends now. You know, I'm going out there. I'm probably going to catch it over this sermon. Y'all should see some of the emails I get. I have to, well, I better not. Anyway, let me tell you something. It's going to be a great awakening and a shock when you tell these people to buy their own milk and fix their own cereal. It's going to be a great awakening. Trust me. It's going to be a great, I've given several people great awakenings and they didn't know what to say. Well, I don't cuss people out. I don't shoot people. Well, I hadn't shot one yet. But anyway, I'm trying not to cuss people out, all right? So that being said, let me read you what God said about whining, okay? You want me to read you what God said about whining? God does not like whining. I mean, just bless God, would you shut up? I mean, Jesus. Go to 1 Corinthians 10:10. 1 Corinthians 10:10. Now, if you're not able to work, you fell into hard times or something, everybody in the county knows that God's house will help you some kind of way or another. That's what we're called. We're called to love people that are not that not even lovable, okay? Jesus died on the cross for me and you and all them old bad people I'm talking about too, okay? All right, he died for everybody. So you have to balance this out with the love of God. But at the same time, if you read Ecclesiastes, Solomon got, you have to understand why he wrote Ecclesiastes. Solomon got really bored hanging out, eating all this food, looking at all the pretty women that he had, so he must have really got bored. But anyway, that being said, I mean that in the purest way possible, okay? If you got plenty of food and a pretty woman, you should be happy. Amen. But he wasn't. So he took a tour of the world. When he got back, he said, I'm going to stay here because all them folks crazy. You understand what I'm saying? Read Ecclesiastes in that light. He said, I've seen some strange things. He said, I've seen servants riding pretty horses, and I've seen princes and kings walking. Life has a funny way. Oh, it has a funny way of... Can I get... One day you got it by the tail, next day it's got you by the tail. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. 1 Corinthians 10:10. Here's what God has... Now, let me back this up. This is about the 2 million people that came out of Egypt and whined for 40 years. How you can whine for 40 years, dear God, I don't know, but you can. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured them and were destroyed of the destroyer. Complaining and whining will ultimately destroy you. It may not happen in an instant. This was a 40-year situation, but you just bless God, whine and whine and whine. And I remember my mama telling me, if you don't shut up, I'm going to give you something to cry about. Y'all, mama ever tell y'all that? She said, you sitting here whining and crying, just let me go get me a belt. Well, she didn't have to go get a belt, whatever was handy, for broom, flip-flops, fly swatter, it don't make no difference. She said, if you don't hush this whining, I ain't got nothing to do with them bored. I can fix all of that. I painted the house one year when I was in seventh grade, the whole outside. Took all summer. I didn't whine the next summer, Miss Judy. And then later on, when Randall, my cousin, got back from Vietnam, me and him painted it. I won't even tell you about that situation, all right? So, whew, help me God. 1 Corinthians 10:10 said, don't be murmuring, it'll kill you. It will. It'll kill you. The rain won't dissolve you. If it's raining, you can still come to church. Well, I don't want to get wet today. Okay, just stay at the house then. But if you're part of this church family, you'll be held accountable for what I preach if you could be here. Amen. It's just the way it is. It'd be in your best interest to give these people to God. And that way you can get some rest. You'll even have more money. You can quit going to McDonald's and go get you a steak maybe every once in a while. I'm talking about relationships. Relationships. We need to learn these lessons. Because some relationships, Angela, are more draining than they are a blessing. And I realize, let me clarify, there are going to be some relationships in your life that are going to drain you, but it may be not necessarily their fault. There may be other factors. You understand what I'm saying? So you have to balance it out with some wisdom, okay? We have people in our lives that we're connected with that we cannot disconnect from, and we don't want to because we love them, and there's some other factors involved. So you got to balance all that out, okay? Don't go home and call everybody you know and tell them you hate them, don't come over to the house no more, okay? And when they say, what? Well, that's what Brother Scotty said to do, so don't come over here no more, I don't like you. I know some of you, I saw it in your eyes. I know some of you was going to do that and blame it on me, okay? Okay? Don't do that. You might need some of them. Like if your house catches on fire, you may need someone to come over and help you fan the flames. You understand what I'm saying? Or spray some water hose on it or something. Okay? You know how people, Ronnie, tell you, if you need me, call you? I can't stand that. I mean, bless God, I'm standing here drowning. If I need you, bless God, call you? I mean, really? Let me ask you this right here. If you up in your house asleep, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. Your neighbor comes by and your house on the other end, like my house is real long, it could be a fire on the other end, Deborah, and I might not even know it. Well, my alarms would go off, but I'm talking about smell smoke. Well, I can smell smoke on Mars. So, but anyway, that being said, I'm not a good example of that. But if your house is on fire, pick A or B, what you'd rather me do. Stop, throw a rock through your window, get the water hose, spray, just bless God, go crazy with the water hose spraying, or B, text you and say, if you need me, call. Which one would you like, Jody? Would you like, you know, being sprayed with a water hose at 4 o'clock in the morning and say, my God, there's some idiot outside. He's busting my window out. He's spraying me with a water hose. And you look out there and say, well, I know that idiot. It's my neighbor. He's crazy. But then you smell smoke. So you really have a text or water sprayed on you? I know a lot about spraying water on people. I worked on a riverboat. Yes. Ronnie knows exactly what I'm fixing to say. Why? Because he's been working on a riverboat almost 50 years, I guess. So there are people that don't take baths. Okay? There are fire hydrant water hoses on the riverboat. The boat windows will slide open. Said person is asleep and didn't take a bath again that day, and you have to roommate with him. He's asleep while you're working. You see what I'm saying? Thank God you don't have to sleep in the same bed. But you know you can take one of them fire hydrants and turn it up on high and just stick it in there while he's asleep and blow him out of the bed on the floor. Now, I've seen it done. I really hadn't done it much. Well, anyway, that being said. One more story and we're gone. Relationships with people. I met a guy, first mate. And you're supposed to wear boots on a riverboat with steel-toed shoes. You still make you do that. But this person, he didn't abide by those rules. He didn't abide by no rules. Of course, this was the late 70s. His name was Robert. And Deb, he had like a belly way out here, but he wore his like his four-year-old child's T-shirt, so the T-shirts were like up to here. His tennis shoes, the front half of the sole was off. So you hear him coming, flop, flop. I'm telling the gospel truth. Okay? We was on that old Navigator, Ronnie, the Navigator flowers that they'd suck up on the Ohio River. And I was on the Miss KD, but then they called and said, you got to go to the Navigator. I said, why? They said, well, we got to have some help. What I didn't realize when I got on there is that when they hit those rocks on the Ohio River, they punched a hole inside the boat about this big. Now, if you got a hole this big inside of a boat and it's underwater, what's happening? It's flooding, sinking. And you got one Briggs & Stratton water pump pumping the water out. But they didn't have time to stop and fix it because they got to get this load. They got to make money. I said, so y'all sent me to this sinking boat. Yep, we did. We love you, but we had nobody else because everybody knew about it wouldn't go. I said, well, what happens if that water pump quits? They said, well, you better start swimming is all I can tell you because we only have one water pump. I said, we're going to stop at the store and get another water pump, okay? This is not a good plan. So on this Navigator, the way it was laid out, we had a bedroom over here with two beds. I slept when my partner worked and vice versa. Two beds over here in the back of the boat right on top of the engines so there was no sleep for me anyway. Some people can sleep on an engine. But anyway, that being said, so I'm in the showers were in the middle. There were two showers. You go in, I still remember. There was a sink there, mirror, shower there. So I'm in there taking a shower, minding my own business. I take showers alone, just FYI. I mean, I don't need anybody to help me take a shower. Well, I hear the door open. So I stick my head out the curtain, Doc, and here's Robert with his T-shirt on up here. And he's proud of that belly. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? And then flopping flip-flops. He's got my Bible. Every time I went to the river, my mama put my Bible in my suitcase. I can't really say I read it very much, all right? But at least she put it in there. Well, he's got my Bible, Mickey. I said, Robert, what are you doing with my Bible? First of all, what are you doing going through my suitcase? That's not even relevant to because you're crazy. So anyway, he said, I said, please go put my Bible up. And he has my towel marked, so I can't get out, all right? Yeah, unless I tear the shirt and shower curtain down. I said, would you just put my Bible up, give me my towel? He said, I'll give you, true story, sad story but funny kind of together, all right? He said, I'll give you your Bible if you'll quote me one verse of Scripture out of Job. Some of y'all got that. First of all, I said, Robert, it's Job, okay? And I've never read that book. I was 18 and really wasn't much into reading the Bible at that point in time in my life. And I said, I don't know any Scripture in Job, okay? All right, so just, you need to go read it. You take the Bible and you go read it. Because I think you need it worse than I do. Anyway, that was debatable, but nevertheless. Relationships with people are part of life, okay? You're not going to escape it. Unless you take a job way off somewhere by yourself. Like Shanghai McCoy on Rooster Cogburn. He'd run the ferry, played by Strother Martin. Y'all remember him? He'd sail the seven seas. I've been around the horn. I've seen everybody. I've done everything. I took this job because I like myself better than anybody I know. He was a humanist. He hated all humans equally, all right? You should watch that movie sometime, all right? But you're going to bump into people as you go through life. Be careful who you get attached to. Amen. They that walk with the wise shall be wise. Amen. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Mm-hmm. Relationships. Watch them closely. Because you're going to get hurt if you live on this planet. You're going to get hurt. If you love people, that's going to happen. And I love people, you love people, and yes, we've been hurt. Yes, we will be hurt again. But we're going to do what Jesus did because he loved us enough to die on a cross for us. And so in spite of it all, we're going to walk in the love of God. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen. Give Jesus a hand clap of praise if you would, please. Amen.